Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hey everybody, welcome to this special episode, this transfer special episode of Speedway Soccer Pod. As always, we're proud to be a part of the 104.5 The Zone podcast network, along with BGN FM, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. So as everyone has seen, Nashville SC did announce the signing yesterday of Anibal Godoy from San Jose Earthquakes. And we put out a quick piece earlier yesterday. But today, Davey Shepherd was able to sit down and do a couple different interviews and talk to a couple different people about him. So, Davey, how about you just kind of walk us through everything?
Yeah, so a few different pieces. Here in just a second, we're going to go to break. And after that, we're going to sit down with Jeff Reuter, talk with him about his impressions of the player, of what Nashville SC is doing roster-wise at this point in the season. For those of you that don't know, Jeff is one of our first ever guests on the show when we started the podcast. He has since moved to be full-time writing for The Athletic, covering MLS nationwide. He does a lot of focus on the Loons up in Minnesota. He does a lot of games with FC Cincinnati, and potentially will be covering Nashville SC quite a bit next season. So really good insight, really good talk with him. I was also on the presser with Mike Jacobs, Gary Smith, Ian Ayer, and of course, Anibal Godoy. And we, you know, kind of just chatted through a few questions with myself and some of the other media members, Wes Bowling, Tim Sullivan, some other guys. So, you know, it was a good kind of impression of the player, of where the club sees him, and then also outside perspective. So right next after the break, we're going to have the interview with Reuter. And then when we come back from that, Slape and I will just chat through the presser and our impressions from that.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Taylor Street Coffee and Tea. Taylor Street Coffee and Tea is a new family-owned coffee shop tucked away in Germantown, serving coffee from Crema Coffee Roasters and tea from Firepot Nomadic Teas. Check them out at 100 Taylor Street, Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. They're located inside an art collective building, so check out their Instagram page to find them, at Taylor Street Coffee. Drop by, drink up.
Hey everybody, Davey Shepherd, Speedway Soccer. We are here today with Jeff Reuter from The Athletic. Jeff, thanks for taking the time to come on, man.
Yeah, and thanks for pronouncing my last name right. That's a rarity.
Yeah, hey, you are our first ever media guest, so we've got to make sure to treat you right. We're always thrilled to have you back on, man.
Yeah, so absolutely. Listen, let's dive in.
We wanted to talk through the Anibal Godoy signing, coming to Nashville SC, MLS signing. He's going to remain with the Quakes for the rest of the year. First off, just without getting into Tam Gam, anything like that, give me your just blush strokes of who the player is.
Anibal Godoy is an established MLS midfielder. There's an old saying that circulates a lot, especially in NBA circles, that I think actually holds true in this current era of MLS. If you can't be a superstar, the highest compliment that you can earn is being a veteran, because it means that you are worth keeping either on one team or multiple teams. You're someone who's constantly sought after. You put in your time and made a respectable career for you. He's currently in his fifth season with the San Jose Earthquakes. I think he's up to like 99, maybe 100 games with the Quakes. He's not going to be going in and scoring goals, and I don't think that you would expect that. He has five, if I remember right, last I checked. But yeah, I mean, he's a pretty solid player, I'll say. Panamanian, he's also a regular with the national team, which also helps. But if you're looking at, I mean, what he's going to bring on the field, he's not going to be kind of that all-ranging midfielder. You know, you think of like a Diego Chara and Ozzy Alonso. If you're going to really go to scale, you're thinking of like an N'Golo Kanté. With the modern number six, who's going to be able to cover acres of ground, keep up with the quickest attacking midfielders and wingers who cut inside into the box and try to stifle them. That's not him. He's rarely going to need a substitution. He has a sneaky good shot from distance, despite those lack of goal scoring numbers. I told you, he just hasn't played in those positions. If you think of the San Jose teams under Mikel Stara and Dom Kinnear, these weren't exactly teams that pressed their midfield into the attacking third terribly often. But yeah, I think he is sturdy. He doesn't have, and knocking as much wood as he wants to, Nashville fans, he doesn't have a long track record of injury. So he should be someone who you can depend on. He's a pretty strong player. He's comfortable on the ball. He likes giving long passes. I mean, he's a pretty well-rounded central midfielder, save for, like I said, that lack of pace that he has.
So when it comes to these types of deals, I always think you can tell a lot about a player by how the fan base that the guy is leaving reacts when he leaves. And it's pretty unanimous. Hey, look, it's a decent deal for us, but we're sorry to see this guy go, is what I've seen. So I think Nashville fans should take that to heart. And a shared sentiment seemed to be that he is an underrated passer and possibly an overrated defender. And that seems to go along with what you just said, that he maybe unfairly gets boxed into this super aggressive holding number six, where passing is maybe better in his skill set than covering that inside man like you were talking about.
Yeah, if you're going to be looking at, I mean, it's all up to what Smith wants to put out, right? But if you're thinking that this team base 4-2-3-1, which is something that's been really common this year from what I've seen in Nashville, if you're looking at that formation, you're going to want somebody who is much more active. You're going to hope that your number eight, your box to box guy is maybe more a mold of, I mean, Chara is technically a box to box guy. So that would be the dream, right? But if you're looking at someone who's, I'm trying to think of a really good example here, but basically you're going to need to have someone who's able to make up for the yards he is not going to cover. You're going to need somebody who isn't afraid of sticking in a cleat and just trying to make that challenge. If you're looking at Cincinnati, for example, you have a lot of guys who are either very confident in doing the passing work or happy to stay at home, but you really don't have a blend of the two, and it's made their midfield very difficult to build, despite that arguably being their strongest point on their roster. It's where a guy like Leo Bertone, who was signed from Swiss club Young Boys this last offseason, has probably been their best signing, because he's able to combine those two things while also being a flair player going forward. So if you're looking at the best way to unlock Godoy, you're right. Give him more time to do that passing work and don't pigeonhole him into being that pure stay-at-home defensive midfielder.
So looking at guys on the roster, Nashville already made another MLS signing with Derek Jones. What do you think about that signing? Could you see those guys playing next to each other? I know Jones isn't nearly as finished of a product as Godoy is, but do you think if he reaches his ceiling, those are two guys that you could see play together with Jones as a pivot and with Godoy more of a stay-at-home?
It could work. Yeah, it definitely could work. I will say, though, that one of my big surprises with this Godoy deal, I mean, first off, was the price point. I'm sure that we'll get
sure.
there in a second.
Yeah,
so we're going to get there. I'll save those thoughts for now. But the other thing that shocked me, man, is that if you're looking at the depth chart right now, and if you're looking at potential players or areas where Nashville is going to have a leg up in scouting the USL, because Nashville will hold a priority on claims. So let's say Nashville wants, I'm going to give a name that obviously won't happen, but let's say they would have wanted Joe Cole when he was at Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And let's say that FC Cincinnati also wanted Joe Cole, and both of them tried to put in, you know, their interest, their paperwork, whatever. Nashville would have dibs automatically on that guy. So they really will get the pick of the litter from the NA or from the USL. Sorry, old habits die hard. You know, if you're looking at that league right now, there's actually a bumper crop of young, talented, versatile number sixes. I'm thinking of Domaduro. I'm thinking of Boluak and Yode on your own roster. I'm thinking right. of Brian Anunga when he comes back from Charleston, Thomas over at Pittsburgh Riverhounds. There's some really, really good two-way players in the midfield. So I don't quite understand the fit there. But that said, you're right. Derek Jones could work well. He's more athletic, and he's, I think, a little more aggressive in a good way, in a way that you want to see from a defensive midfielder. I personally think Philadelphia gave up way too early on Derek Jones. That's a fantastic pickup, and I'm guessing you're starting to see that right now in the USL play. But
He's been injured since the Open Cup match against Charleston. He's out of a walking boot, so he's starting to round. We think he was back at training last week. So we think he's back on the way soon. But yeah, it was cool. It was unfortunate. It was his first meaningful minutes with the club, and he looked outstanding. Because we're huge Boluak and Yode fans. I mean, we hyped that guy nonstop, and it was to see him next to Bolu. It was like, oh, this guy's a class above. You know what I mean? And it was unfortunate, but I think we'll have him back for the stretch run. And the season's shaping into a decent. Decent for Nashville because we've really been on a tear lately. So to get a guy like that back in this lineup will be really important. Okay, let's start heading there. You hinted at it earlier. I think the most shocking thing for everybody was the price. And I kind of have two questions with this. Is one, it seems just generally to be accepted that this is a bit of an overpay. Now, I would like push back on the Twellman stuff saying it's the same as the Adi deal. I think that to fill a DP slot and use Tam as well. But so kind of my secondary question is do you think it's an overpay is the first part, and then secondarily, like, is there almost a way to extort these new clubs when it comes to this game because they know the position that these new teams are in and having to fill out rosters?
Absolutely to both, no question. Yeah, it's an overpay. It's a huge overpay. If you're looking at market value for defensive midfielders, there wasn't and we'll just say central midfielders, right? Because you don't necessarily want to get into the weeds about is he defensive, is he a box to box, whatever.
Right.
Just for reference, and I know that the market has changed just a little bit since this happened, but the first trade that was announced that by the league that actually included allocation money totals was when Dax McCarty went to the Fire in 2017. Again, the market's changed a little bit in 2.5 years. But the Fire traded for an MLS Best 11 established in prime U.S. men's national team defensive midfielder, $400,000 of general allocation money. Do I think that Anibal Godoy is 60% better than Dax McCarty? Absolutely not. Not a chance. But to get to your second point, of course there is some extortion with that. Of course teams with the player are going to have an upper hand over a team with no players on the roster, three players signed on the roster, four players, I think it's going to be before the Godoy trade, including the guys who are going to come in on January 1st, like David Akamu. So, yeah, they're negotiating from the low point. They have a pool of money that no other MLS team has. Expansion teams get extra millions of dollars of allocation money, both general allocation money and targeted allocation money. Targeted allocation money only affects the top part of your roster, the guys who would earn more and the salary maximum budget charge. Target or general allocation money can be used in multiple ways. It can be used to lower the hit of a designated player so that even though you're paying Mesut Ozil $50 million a year because his wages are outrageous, he would go against the salary cap at the maximum level, which is about $550,000. You could use general allocation money to lower that hit by $150,000 so you can boost the guys who earn less than that. It's a really good way to flex. Honest general allocation money is extra salary cap room. That's the easiest way to look at that. And if like Atlanta, AFC, let's see, Toronto, signing all of these targeted allocation money players, GAM is your best friend. And if you look at teams like Minnesota United, and that's the team I cover the closest, right, within Major League Soccer, they hoard GAM. Every time they make a deal, it's not just we want straight TAM. They want that general allocation money because it gives them so much flexibility to bring in. Now they have four designated players on the roster and they bought one down with TAM, but they still have a lot of TAM players because the cap hit of the designated players is lower than every other team in the league because they have those resources. So it is an overpay, not just in the figure, which I think is too high, but because for a team like Nashville, GAM is going to be more valuable. Probably the currency rate always changes right in the market, but I would say it's like 1.5 times as valuable as TAM. So 150% of the value of $1 of TAM. So trading that much of any part of the allocation money, I think that was too much. But the fact that it's GAM, I do agree with you that 12-man's a little bit off base there because of the reasons you pointed out, international spot plus designated player. But man, I don't know. It absolutely was a case where San Jose got the better of this deal.
So it would have been too blue for your blood. I get that. And, you know, personally, I probably tend to agree with you. How important do you think what you just mentioned, the fact that he holds a green card, is in making this deal? And do you think that hints at anything in the future, maybe with wanting to fill international slots on younger guys who potentially wouldn't take as much allocation money?
I think it's too early to tell on that last part. Okay. I mean, the real benefit, though, is you can have those discussions internally. You know, the front office can look and they can say, you know, like, yes, we want to have young internationals. You're going to make sure that these are used on players with higher upside so that international spots aren't just a way to get better in prime or late prime guys, but to get guys that we think have better sell on value, kind of what Inter Miami is doing right now. That is savvy business every single step of the way. And honestly, I think a good rule of thumb is if you think you can fill a starting role with someone who is either a domestic player, an American player slash Canadian player, or has a green card, do it. And don't worry about the international spot, because if you think you have a satisfactory option, that gives you so much more flexibility where, you know, some teams will get pigeonholed into 8 of their 11 starters are internationals. And that's just because they didn't know where to look in the domestic market. So when you get to the US Open Cup, where that number shrinks to 5, suddenly you're seeing guys who have never been in the starting lineup having to start alongside the usual first team. And those teams usually flounder in the Open Cup. So I think it is an advantage to bring in someone with a green card that you think is going to be a week in, week out starter, especially if you want to try to make noise in the Cup tournament.
Okay, so moving past Godoy, maybe looking more overarching, let's talk about Nashville SC, how they're starting to construct this roster. We don't know a ton yet, but we have the guys who were signed preseason, Daniel Rios, Cameron Lancaster. We have the in-season moves, David Akam, Derek Jones, and obviously now Anibal Godoy. What do you think of the way that's being prized together? I think we've been thrilled with the progression of Daniel Rios. I mean, he's in the Golden Boot race, tied for the lead as of last night. I mean, Cameron Lancaster has the injury concerns that he's had forever, but we've seen what he can do when he's playing at his top level. And then Akam, proven wide player at MLS. Jones, you've already said you think Philly gave up too early on. And Godoy, regardless of price, you think is a good player. So how do you think that's starting to come together? And what are things that you would be looking out for as they start to prize together the remainder of this roster?
Just looking at the first five, I think there's two fantastic low-risk, high-reward players on that if you're talking about Rios and Jones. I've been really impressed with Daniel Rios, and obviously that's so lazy to say when you, like you said, you look at the Golden Boot race. Of course, the striker who's doing well, and that's probably a good player, right? But genuinely, I think that I look at him and I see an MLS future. I don't just see like a, you know, kind of straggling, like I just needed to fill the space kind of future. What I see is someone who can step in. I mean, he's only, what, 24 now? So yeah, he can step in. He can be a starter. Honestly, I think that he could be a starter from day one, depending how you set up your lineup and depending who else you bring in, obviously, at the position. But I think he's someone who could be an MLS starter. We'll need a little bit of time to adjust the pace of the league. But I do think that he has that, we'll call it like the Dom Dwyer, Christian Ramirez ceiling, where you can be a 12 to 14 goal scorer in MLS. You need one of those guys. No matter where you're going to finish on the table, you need someone like that. Just ask Cincinnati. So that's a fantastic pickup. Jones, we already talked about him. Godoy, I think, fine player, good player to have. They paid way too much for him. Happy days. Akam isn't actually as proven, and I think this is something actually maybe you and I talked about, or Ben and I talked about after that trade happened. We were texting about it. I'm still not as convinced, and I think it's because I was burnt badly when David Akam was traded by Chicago to Philadelphia. I had him down for like breakout player or like comeback player of the year, because I think he missed a lot of time with Chicago. And sure enough, he missed a lot of time with Philadelphia and he only scored once. And then he gets traded to Columbus, and 10 days after he's traded to Columbus, Columbus already trades him for the future. That's not a great sign. You don't like to see, if you go to a player's Wikipedia page, you don't like that teams played for column to be changing with single years in between each season. You like to see long tenures with one club, even just 2-3 years. It's like getting any sort of job. Once you make 6 months in our job market in the world, if you're not an athlete, you want to get 6 months when you're starting out of college. You want to get 2 years so that you can show that, yes, you have a track record. I've made performance reviews, blah, 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 blah. You want 2 to 3 seasons from your guys to show that you don't need to have concerns over their character, their locker room appeal, anything like that. And we just don't have that book on David Akam right now. We really don't. Could he break out in a big way with his fourth MLS team? Of course he could. He's got a skill set that's transferable and fit into just about any setup you could draw up. But we just haven't seen it yet. And so I do have a lot of questions about David Akam. And then as far as Lancaster, I think it goes beyond injuries. I actually was never as impressed with Lancaster at his previous stops in the USL as I think a couple of other players or people were. I'm someone who's covered Christian Ramirez since his first game with Minnesota United, right? So when those comparisons always come up with a lower division striker, the next Christian Ramirez, both Lancaster and Rios got that. Rios deserves it. I'm not sold on Lancaster being able to be that kind of guy. So we'll see how he's able to fit in. And those questions have lingered from him ever since he was in Tottenham's academy. So I don't know if that's anything new that he hasn't heard before.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, the thing with Lancaster is, regardless of what you think of him as a player, the injury concerns are so apparent, right? They're so at the forefront. Mm-hmm. So regardless if you think he's got the high ceiling or mid-level or whatever it is, the guy just isn't able to be on the field enough, which is a struggle. With Akam specifically, and I can't remember who tweeted out. I wish I could find it right now. The last thing I saw is that it had been arranged that Columbus was like a route for him to get from Philadelphia to Nashville. So, and again, I'm struggling to find that tweet right now, and I don't know that I will. But yeah, you're right. I think you do want to see guys who have a longer track record at a club, and you know, we remain hopeful that he does have that breakout season when he gets here next year. It had a pretty gnarly red card the other night, I think. So that wasn't the best look either. Okay, so look, Jeff, kind of in summation, as we head towards the stretch run in USL, Nashville's in a great place. Are there any guys who you would not be surprised to be make the jump from USL who aren't on MLS contracts? Maybe guys like Minso, Wynn, you've already mentioned Akinyode, any of that defender group? It looks like the Lasso deal, Cincinnati seems to be done with the guy. And, you know, stuff like that. Anybody who you would see, maybe not even just as roster fillers, because I'm sure we'll see some of that, but guys who could potentially make that jump, see Open Cup minutes, maybe get an appearance here or there in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you already touched on a couple of them that I would have mentioned. Bolak and Yode, I think, is still underrated in USL circles and obviously isn't on many MLS teams' radars. I think that he does have the skill set that you need to be able to be an MLS midfielder. Whether or not he would be a regular starter obviously depends on who else you bring. And at this point, I'm not sure I would give him a starting role, obviously, but I would have no problem giving him a contract by low and see how he performs. Forrest Lasso, I think your instincts are really sharp on that. I have heard that Cincinnati is ready to part ways with him, and I'm sure that there is some sort of purchase agreement for Nashville. I've heard that one or two different places. So there you go. We can consider that breaking news on your podcast. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big option. And honestly, he's a good player to have. He wasn't a locker room issue from the guys I've spoken with who have played with him in the past. And he's huge, right? So if nothing else, you can bring him in if you need to save a game late, you're up 1-0, smash and grab, whatever. Or if you need to score off of like a corner kick or something at the end.
The system fit issues that seem to be in Cincinnati with the new coach are not going to be an issue with Gary Smith. So there's less of that as well.
Are you sure that Alan Koch had a system? Because I'm not sure, and I think that was always a big problem for everyone, because then suddenly your preseason is week 10 of the regular season with Yo DeMay, and that was never going to work, and now they're in a third preseason in the middle of their season. So it's a lost year for them, honestly. I will never wrap my head around the Alan Koch thing, and I think I've already written my piece from The Athletic about that. If I'm just going to do some quick name drop shout-outs, whatever, Carlton Bomar, yeah, I think that he could possibly step in as a rotational piece there. Mensah has really impressed me. We'll see if he's able to make that transition to bringing three forwards up. That really limits what you can do with the rest of your forward spots as far as MLS targeted specific signing. So I'm not sure. He would have to show some more versatility position-wise. Justin Davis is someone I'm very familiar with from my time in Minnesota, obviously. Fantastic locker room guy. I see that Nashville fans have already endeared themselves to him and vice versa, as Minnesota fans had before, including that post-game beer ritual that was started in Minnesota. He is someone who has done well, in my opinion, switching from being a pure left back to being kind of a left center back type as well, being able to kind of do that job in the back three, back five, however you want to dissect it. So he's someone that I would also personally look at for some veteran leadership, for some continuity between the clubs. Again, even if it was brief, because he and Minnesota's head coach didn't always see eye to eye in terms of his role and his level, he is someone with MLS experience and he is someone with veteran savvy, and you need plenty of that if you're going to be making the move to MLS.
Jeff, man, we're always appreciative of your time. Thanks so much for sitting down with us today.
Yeah, not a problem. Anytime, guys.
Hey, this has been Speedway Soccer. We're going to be back in just a bit, talk a few more things, NSC, new signings, all of that. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This episode of Speedway Soccer Pod is brought to you by Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your team or group at roughneckscarves.com.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for coming back. Big thanks to Jeff Reuter for sitting down with Davey and talking through everything. I really appreciated his insight and, you know, getting, you know, someone who watches him and has watched them a whole lot more, some more information. But Davey, let's kind of talk through the press conference that you were in on. What were kind of some of your initial impressions?
Well, yeah, I think with the player specifically, his every single answer he came back to, he just wants to be known as a hard worker. He was kind of asked a few different ways. What does it mean to be here? What are you excited about? What do you think you bring to the table? And he kept just going back to, I want to be a hard worker. He mentioned off the field, on the field, he sees himself as a leader. He wants to help out young guys. And I think that's just what should be expected of a guy with his level of experience, 5+ years in MLS, Panamanian international. The guy's kind of done it at every level. And so I think we're just getting a rock solid bulldog type guy who's going to come in and really, really put in hard shifts on and off the field. So, I think we should all be excited about that. And I think that absolutely fits the identity that we've seen Gary's teams have on the field. And when we sat down with Mike last week, like what his ideas of what this team should be like philosophically.
Yeah. And so I think probably we should set the level. So he doesn't join us till 2020. So he right. will spend the rest of the season with San Jose.
And returning from injury with that. So, he won't be on the field for the, I don't think at any point the rest of the season. A 29-year-old coming off the injury, that is a bit of a bummer. He's just working hard to get healthy, and then he'll join us as soon as the season's over. January 1st, I believe, everything goes live, and then he'll be with Nashville SC.
And so what did Mike and Gary both have to say about the move?
Well, I posed the question to Gary of that he holds the holding midfielder position so highly in the USL side. Was he excited to have a high level signing kind of that mold? And he was very, very quick to say that he thinks he's more than just a holding midfielder, that he thinks he's an extremely versatile guy. Gary said that he's had his eye on him all year, thinks that he can do multiple jobs, and that for people to kind of paint him into a box of this guy's just a holding midfielder, he thought was unfair. He used the word cornerstone. He said he's going to be a cornerstone for this group moving forward. To me, it's just that's the kind of guy that Gary wants. The guy who says, I want to work hard. It's just like the trademark of a Gary Smith player. So it makes a lot of sense that he was high on Gary's list.
And then what about Mike? So I know that we gave up $650,000 in general allocation money, which we will not spend a lot of time going in what that means. But, you know, it's money that we have to spend that does come every year. But let's kind of talk through to what did Mike have to say about the move?
Yeah, so the only thing I'll add to the general allocation money thing is that new clubs, new franchises get more of that general allocation money in their first year. And so everyone else knows that. Mike was very clear to make out that it's hard for the newer teams to maybe get a fair shake of thing when it comes to valuation of players because teams know they have more money to spend and they can just charge more money for it. Now, I won't say that that means I don't think this was an overpay because I do think it was in some ways. That being said, there is absolutely truth to that. Jeff alluded to that earlier. It's easy for these teams. I mean, me and Jeff used the word extort earlier. They can jack the price up because they know these new teams have more money. That being said, a really insightful piece from Mike. He said last year, Gary, Allie, Chance, and Mike all sat down together. And they put together not what they viewed as MLS best 11s, but what they viewed as best fit 11s for what they wanted the identity of the team to be and where they were building towards. And that there was one player that all four of them had as a player in their 11. And Anibal was one of those guys, was the only one. He was the only one that made that 11 for all four guys. And so, I mean, that's kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I think the guy is, you know, Gary said he thinks specifically that this guy does the job in the midfield as anyone in the league, as good as anyone can do it. For me personally, I think he's a very, very good player, a very, very serviceable player. But to go out there and like lay down a marker of like, this is a guy that we think connects 100% with the identity that we're trying to build. All four of your guys in the house have him on that list. And to go out and get them, I think is a big deal. I mean, it shows that they're building identity-wise what they want to do. So, you know, I think that's important that they're building the model that they've established internally for going over 2 years. They are over a year, close to 2 years now, that they're trying to build. You know, Mike specifically mentioned other teams and, you know, transactions we've seen in the past. Obviously, Jeff Reuter mentioned Adi earlier. That was a big Taylor Twellman tweet that this was just like the Adi deal. I think that's a very unfair comparison. I said that with Jeff earlier. I would push back against that 100%. And, you know, the Akam deal and this deal, Mike was quick to say that the truth is that we've spent less on Akam and Godoy than others have spent on just one player as they become a new franchise. So he was also pretty quick to bring up the point that just about a week ago we had people saying him saying spend wisely meant we weren't going to spend any money at all. And now some of the same people are saying you're spending too much money, you're wasting money. So listen, they have a plan. They're moving forward. For anybody concerned about the age of the player, you know, Mike said that there is going to be a premium and a focus on young players, particularly internationals. He said, if you look at what the high scoring teams in MLS are doing, their eights and tens are almost always young international players. So listen, I think that's something we have to pay attention to. And he says it's not just new clubs that have to pay attention to that. That's every team in MLS because there's such a priority being placed on sell on value of these young players. But he knows he has to walk a fine line there. He said, as a GM, I've got to walk a line because I've got a coach like Gary Smith who's trying to put together a roster that can compete to win championships now. And that when you bring in this young international, it's a new country, it's a new language, it's a new system. It becomes a little bit harder for that person to compete day one. And while you might be able to sell them one in 3 or 4 years for a great profit, you've cost maybe more productive time, especially in year one and year two, that another player could be filling in. So I expect there to be a balance. But for the crowd yesterday that's shouting, the guy's 29 years old. He was very specific in mentioning that there will be a premium placed on younger players.
Well, I mean, that's good to know, just because, you know, with his age, you definitely don't want to go into a new season with an old lineup. You want to have some experience out there on the field. But yeah, I think that if we were to go in, because you don't want to go in and it have be like, all right, well, here's what we're going to do for the next year or two. And then, you know, 2 years down the line, you're sitting there going, well, we had all this allocation money. You know, they give new expansion teams this larger amount of allocation money that everyone has mentioned. But you don't want to sit there going like, we don't have this money anymore, and we kind of have to overhaul the squad. I do also kind of get, you know, you mentioned it, and I think I kind of feel the same that, you know, it is a little bit of an overpay. We do know that everybody knows that we have a lot more, like a lot more money, but you know, you look at some of the deals that were done yesterday on the transfer deadline with Emmanuel Boateng going to from LA to DC for only $250,000 in TAM, yeah. which is a situation though with, you know, LA brought in Pavon, who, you know, they then had to clear up some space. We saw Kellen Rowe go to Real Salt Lake for only $75,000 in allocation money. But I mean, it's just it's kind of the nature of the beast. But I do think it is a good sign that, you know, so many people from San Jose, I think kind of the overarching reaction from everyone in San Jose, the San Jose fans, is, you know, they hated to see him leave. And I think that is always a good, you know, not a beyond all indicator, but a fairly good indicator.
Yeah. And I said that to Jeff as well. I think that's a great sign. Obviously they were thrilled with the price that they got, but, yeah, that people were pretty bummed to see a guy like that go, and you hear the guy's answers and it's pretty clear to see what they're thinking there. You know, I think the big thing is like, this is an early signing. There's a lot left to go. And what I would say, and I think Jeff is very good about bringing this point up, is that compare it, let's say apples to apples, directly to the Adi deal. This is a philosophical signing and like a guy who absolutely is a part of the identity that Gary Smith wants his teams to be. I don't think you can even approach making that argument for Alan Koch and what Cincinnati was last year, right? So it like, is it going to come all? I'm not a you know, soothsayer, fortune teller. I can't say it's going to be some great MLS signing. I think it's going to be a good one. But it's not going to be an Adi level of catastrophe where the coach doesn't even know what he wants to do with the guy. Right. You know, so I just think it's worth paying attention to that. It's an early signing. There's plenty more to go. And to Mike Jacobs' credit, he's saying the right things. Look, we had to spend a little bit more money, but that's the way this is going to go because teams know we've got a little bit more money. You mentioned the Boateng deal. I mean, there wasn't a deal like that with Inter Miami, right? Like they didn't sign some young intra-league guy because they know Miami has the same money that we have. So it's just interesting. I think we're in a little bit of a box there, especially when dealing with teams internally, but let's just hold off. We can agree that we think it's a bit of an overpay. But let's see what these international signings are going to be. These younger guys that he's saying 8, 10, whatever positions you want to see. Let's see what those are going to be in a little, a few months, weeks. He said we're going to be seeing signings all over the roster, DP and down over the coming weeks and months. So, look, you know, the jury's going to be back in here in just a few months. It's already August and, you know, January, February, we're going to know what this roster is. So we've just got to be a little bit patient and in my opinion, if you're going to overpay, it's going to happen here and there. Some of this money is never coming back. You know, we're not going to have the same amount of game next year. That being said, if we're going to overpay, I'm glad it's on a guy who everybody in the room wanted. And though me sitting here in my chair, I might not have put the guy on that list. I'm not getting paid to make the decisions, and those guys are.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth noting that he does have a green card, so he doesn't count for one of those international spots, which we will see become a premium, especially as you're bringing in new guys. Because you'll see a lot of times MLS teams will bring in a guy for a year or two, then they'll be able to help him get his green card where he doesn't count to an international spot. We obviously don't have that luxury, so I think that it is very helpful that we're bringing in this guy who has a lot of international experience, including World Cup experience, and he's not counting toward our international roster spots.
Yeah, and Jeff made that point as well. We talked about that, and you know, like he said, especially for like tournament games, Open Cup games, so many teams end up fielding rosters that are two or three regulars with seven or eight or, you know, guys that don't normally play in the starting lineup. And you see those teams never make a far run in the Open Cup. So we want to see a good balance there. So it's something to pay attention to. Listen, hey, we were glad to be able to put this episode together. Huge shout out to Jeff Reuter for sitting down with us. We're going to try to have him more throughout the course of the season. He mentioned specifically wanting to do a like an MLS 101 episode, maybe December, January, to kind of pump everybody up for the MLS season. So we're excited for that. And obviously, huge thanks for the club to getting us on that call to meet Anibal and kind of just talk through with the club what their thoughts were there. So listen, love it, hate it, whatever. It is what it is now. He's an NSC player. So if you're sitting at home and you didn't like the deal, he's one of our own now. So we support the guy. And let's see this thing move forward. And again, I think the jury's still out. There's a lot of more signings to come. So we want to see that move forward. Huge win last night, Slate, 4-0 at home. Obviously, Reed got hurt. We'd be remiss to not mention that. We hope he gets healthy, gets feeling better. It looked bad. I don't think anything's been confirmed from a club level, but if you saw the clip, you saw what happened. So we hope he gets better. Huge win, though. Rio scores again, another clean sheet, and then Bethlehem at home this weekend. Very, very exciting time to be an NFC fan. Stay tuned, guys. This is Speedway Soccer. We'll be back early next week to talk more Nashville SC.
Never go full shepherd. Nope.